everything we do should be about you. Without you, we don't exist. Without you, our lives are not worthy of anything. And God, I pray as we live our lives in the journey that you've given us, whether our days are good, whether our days are bad, we realize that we have a Heavenly Father that has loves us, cares for us, uplifts us, redeems us, heals us, mends us. Father, whatever we need, you are there. And God, I pray as we have you as an example, that you are the Father that we need to follow. You are not only our Father, as Scripture says, Abba, Father, you are our Daddy. And God, because you are, what an example we have. And Lord, I pray as we live our lives, may we never forget that no matter how bad it is, no matter how far we run, no matter what the mistakes we make, Dad's always home waiting for us with open arms. God, we just thank you. As we study today, I pray that you open our hearts and our minds. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. As we get into our Father's Day message, looking at all that God has for us, one of the things that if you would take the time to look it up on YouTube, you could probably find some of these things. But I wanted to share some of the, a little bit of a comical way. The world according to Dad. These statements and phrases, maybe you have heard or maybe you repeat them. But either way, this is what the world according to Dad looks like. This is going to hurt me more than you. Bring back all the change. How should I know? Ask your mother. You are going and you will have fun. If you break your leg, don't come running to me. Sorry, that one probably hits home to me more than any of them. That has happened. Anyway. Why? Because I said so. Just wait until you have kids. You see, the parental prayer of everyone I know, probably the most fervent prayer I ever made, is that my children would have one just like them. And it has won every time. God answers prayer. Amen for that. I was not sleeping. I was just resting my eyes. That's a Sunday morning quote. Just putting it out there. This is my all-time favorite. Don't look at me. They're acting like your side of the family. Dad, what are we going to do with you? I was going to give you some dad jokes, but they're not even funny. But you know, when you look at the life, you look at the world, you look at how dad is defined. Man, and we have our newest dad with us today. Goodness, I just, boom, there you are, man, great. Good to have them with us. 2 months, 1 month, 3 weeks. Whew, I was a little lower than that. 3 weeks old. He get the prize. Sorry. Listen, she did all the work, but you get the glory today. Today's your day. Just saying. It's great to have them guys with us today, and good to bring a little one into the house of the Lord today for the first time. But as we come together, you know, one of the things that we look at in dads is I think we have lost in our world the importance of what dad means. We've lost in our world what that dad is. And I'll never forget, and I shared this before, when we were many years ago, my oldest daughter, Ashley, now is hitting 41, believe it or not. And back when she was just in the process of being born, basically growing in the womb, we went to the doctor's office and he had a picture and a big plaque there. And he said, you as a dad will be the first God your children will ever know. And I have never forgot that. Because when they look at you as a father, and then you say, well, let me tell you about the Heavenly Father, their definition about the Heavenly Father is going to be what they see in front of them. And that's scary, isn't it? That's a tall order to match up to. But one of the things I want to share today as we get into our study, and if you haven't turned, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 16. We're going to look at that, the guardian. But before we get there, one of the phrases that I want to mention to you is, as dads, we parent our children in the first part of their lives to talk and to walk. The rest of their childhood, we tell them to sit down and be quiet. That's what parenting is right there. We want them to talk and walk. We want them to get them up. We want to get them running. But then when they do, that's all right. Sit down and be quiet now. And so that's the parameters of what being a dad is. You want to raise them up to move them on, to move them out. And so in that thought process of that, I don't know of too many dads who haven't sat down in the moment that probably basically their sons, and I'm not sure about their daughters. I know I did it with a few of my daughters, but basically my son, when he was ready to graduate and get out of the house, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I didn't prepare him enough. I didn't teach him enough. I didn't give him enough. And all of a sudden it's like, oh boy, what do I do now? And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, as a leader, a leader is only somebody who looks over their shoulder and there's people following them. A leader is not by title. A leader is not by position whatsoever. A leader is not by last name. A leader is not by anything except a life worth following. That's a leader. And so you want your kids to follow you in that. You want your kids to be a part of that. So in that realms, we are dads who... What is our true role as a dad? What is our role as a father? And when you look at this, and what I want to do is I'm going to share this, but also share it in a way that it's broad spectrum. Because I think it's something that is very important in all of our lives as we continue looking at what dad's role is. First of all, a dad, you're to be a guardian. And that's it, to be their guardian. You got to guard them. You got to protect them. You got to, and there's three things. And I share this quite often, and this is probably a true statement. And ladies, listen to this, okay? Because the man needs three things in his life until the day he dies. And this has been proven by many psychologists, by many people writing books. Three things that a man has to have. One, he has to have an adventure. He's got to have something that a venture to go out on. Let him get lost in the woods, okay? That's an adventure. Let him go. He'll find his way home. His nose, belly, all that stuff. He'll get him there. He'll smell the food. He'll make it home. He has to have an adventure. The second thing he has to have is he has to have a battle to win. And guys, most of the battles we have to fight come from here. Most of the battles we fight are in here. But he's got to have a battle to fight. And he's got to have a babe to fight for. Fight for your wives, okay? Don't worry about the other guys. Fight for your own. He's got to have a babe to fight for, okay? Those are the three most constant things in a man's life that says, I'm a man. So don't take any of those away from him. Don't take the adventure away. Don't take the battle, that struggle is going on. Sometimes, guys, we just have to take it. We have to fight the battle with God alone. And it's okay to do that. And you got to, man, fight for your wife every day. Every day you got to fight for your wife. Every day you got to tell your wife you love her. Every day you go to bed, try to go to bed on a really good note. And if you're still arguing when your head hits the pillow, just say, I love you and I'll talk to you in the morning. In a nice way. Say it in a very loving way. But you know, we look at this whole realm of what we do. And I'm going to tell you, it's thrilling. You know, I just thank God that I'm able to be a dad and a husband. It's one of the hardest roles I'll ever play. But in the realm of that, what does it mean to be the guardian? When we look at the text in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, as we turn there this morning, I'm going to read verses 13 and 14, and then we're going to pick it apart. It says, watch ye, stand fast in faith, quick like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity or with love. You see, these two verses really share with us what it means and how to be a guardian of our home and the hearts of our home. Because it's important. It's important for their establishment. It's important for them to make it through and to get on. So as we look at the first one, the guard is always watchful. You have to be watchful. By the way, that means you've got to be home to be watchful. You've got to know what's going on in the home. And so when we see this first one, basically, but this watchfulness, and again, this is at the letter of end of the first letter that Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. And the whole letter of Corinth was written as a way to say, beware, watch out. There are things that are going on inside the church as we write this letter that aren't right. And you go back to Corinthians 1 and 2, you see that there were things happening within the church that even the outside world said that is not right. And so when Paul writes this letter, when he means watchful, he doesn't just mean to sit up on the perch with the binoculars and really look at everything that's going on in the house. What he means is to be carrying out the will of God. You're being watchful says you're carrying out the will of God in the home. You're carrying out the will of God in many ways in the home. And as you carry out the will of God, in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, just up a few verses, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. For you and I to guard, we need to have a worthiness to guard. We have to have a life of our own. If we're going to lead, if we're going to put some footprints down, as Flora read in the poem, if we're going to put clear path down behind us, where's that path going to lead? Listen, I guarantee you two things about that. One is your children will pick up your bad habits and they'll throw away your good. I don't know why. I don't know how that works. I keep asking my kids, why do you only pick up my bad habits? And their answer is, that's their answer. They don't give one. They don't have one. There is no answer. They just sort of, I think, you know, we're bent that way, right? Our sinful nature, we're bent to do the wrong. And so they pick up the bad ones. And the problem with that is a lot of your daughters are going to look for guys that they see in their father. Now, whether good, bad, or otherwise, sometimes the guys, it's just ingrained in them. What the definition of dad means is usually because of what they've had there all their life. And that's why it's so important as you lay down the path clearly, where's that path going? Who is that path leading them to? You see, as you as a leader, you're leading to something. You're leading to a point. You're leading to a philosophy. You're leading to something. Where are you leading them? Where are you? What direction are you taking them? You see, that's an important phrase, an important concept, because as we look at what this verse 58 says, be steadfast. You see, that word steadfast simply means is be firm. Don't move. When you and I, as men, have a heart for God, we will never be on the wrong path. We will never do or lead them to the wrong area of life. And it all starts with us. Our kids, when they get to be, you know, teenagers, that's when mom and dad really don't know much. And when they get to that stage and you look at them and you say, I can't believe you're doing it. Why are you doing it? But wait a minute. From 1 to 13, what did they see? What did they see in your life? What did they see in my life? What did we show them? How did we show them? And so realizing that we holler, we overly discuss maybe. We overly discuss things with our kids that if we would just take a moment and say, but you taught me that. You taught me that. And so that's really, that's one of the ones that got me as I studied through this. I'm like, man, of all the things I taught you, you had to get that one. You had to learn that one. They always learn that side of it. But be steadfast. Be firm in what? Be firm in your carrying out the will of God for your life. Because the greatest thing that your children will see, listen, kids learn by seeing more than they do by listening. When they see you following the will of God for your life, does that mean you're going to have a perfect life? Absolutely not. Does that mean you're going to make no mistakes? Absolutely not. Does that mean you're going to make no bad decisions? Absolutely not. But they're going to watch what you do with them. They're going to watch how you come out of them. They're going to watch all the things you do and, okay, yeah, Dad, you had a really bad day today. And I know nothing went right. Everything broke. Everything changed. Everything went wrong. Everything was bad. But Dad, what I'm more concerned in is not how to fix it. I want to see how you respond to it. Those are the greatest lessons that I can remember my dad. I can remember my father. One of the greatest things about my dad is he was always present. And And you know what that does to me with my Heavenly Father? It makes me know that he's always present. My dad's voice, I played basketball in high school, 500-600 people in the gymnasium, screaming and hooting and hollering. The cheerleaders doing their little hoo-yah things, whatever they do. And everybody's noising. But when my dad said, "Hey," I knew his voice. I heard my dad over. Now, my dad, he did get a little loud. That's the reason why my mom would never go sit with him in any games. My mom never went to any of my games, but my dad was always there. But you know, when we understand what we're doing and how we need to be firm in our will for God, because that's what they'll see. That's what they want to understand. The next thing that verse says is unmovable. We need to be unmovable in that will of God, unmovable in that faith. How are they going to see you handle the evils of our world? How are they going to see you and what you do with all the things that come against you in your journey of life? How are they going to see you stand tall after you've been knocked down? You see, that's what they want to know. That's what will lead them. That's what will get them unmovable. Listen, we need to study the Word of God in such a way that we know it well enough that we don't move from it when we're unmovable in that will of God for our life. Whatever that is, it's important that they see the steadfastness, unmovable. And then the third thing is always abounding in the work of the Lord. How many times can your family say, "Boy, when this was going on, we were there. When this was going on, we were there." And I realize that I was raised in a different time frame than what we have today. Because my mom and dad took literal, I mean, one of the most literal phrases they took was, "When the doors of the church are open, you're there." And I can remember stuffing my face with whatever my mom brought, picking me up from basketball practice, saying, "You do whatever you want to do, but you're going to be in church. You do whatever you want to do, but you're going to." And they would pick me up at the gym, and they'd be flying down to the church, and I'd be stuffing I would wear it half the time because they were traveling so fast. But I was in church. When there was a work day, I was there. When there was missionaries, they were in our home. When there was things going on in our church, guess what? We were there. We were present. It was important. And I can remember growing up, not knowing, you know, no kids were allowed to come to the project. And Dad said, "If my kids can't come, I can't come either." My dad says, I'm teaching. I'm not, listen, let him smash his toe on a brick, he won't do it again. They were concerned about somebody getting hurt. My dad said, "Let him get hurt." Wow, did he take that literal too. But anyway, as we see all that we teach them, listen, and I can't stress enough, you will never raise a child by speaking. You will raise a child by action, by what you do and how you do it. And now, not only do you have a child, man, you got a wife. You got a wife who most ladies need a little bit of security. Most ladies need a little assurity that they're number one. And listen, guys, it doesn't matter how many times you tell them. Please don't be the guy that goes to counseling and his wife goes in and says, "Listen, my husband never tells me he loves me anymore. And he turns and says, 'I told you I loved you when I marry you. If I change your mind, I'll let you know.'" Don't do that. Don't be that guy. You ought to tell your wife you love her every day and then some. Why? Because they like to hear that. They like to know that a surety is there. They like to know that you're number one and they're number one in your life. And so not only does it affect your kids, but your heart, your carrying out the will of God in your life is what's going to allow you to be successful as a father, as a man, as a husband, every bit of you. That's the most important thing we can share today. And as he simply says in the very first, be watchful, be on guard, beware of your own heart because you got little steps behind you. Listen, guys, we're not going to do it right. I didn't do it right. I failed miserably many times. But I am so glad that God picks up those pieces that we drop. And it really, truly is all about God anyway. God making it work, God making the success. And so when we put that into perspective, we still have a responsibility to carry it out in our own lives first. Be watchful. Be on guard. The second thing we find throughout this verse, when it says that the guard always stands firm in his faith. Not only watchful, but stand fast in the faith. Don't waver. Don't change. Now that tells me that we need to be very careful what we have as a conviction. Because listen, when you get a conviction from God, from His Word, your conviction should never change. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what decade you're raising in. I don't care what the world is doing in any given time. If it is a true conviction from the truth of the Word of God, it should never change. But we're living in a world today where church has changed their conviction on marriage, on pastors, missionaries, affiliations. We have changed so much on the convictions of the truth of the Word of God. Listen, we've got to stay firm. We've got to stay fast. And that's very important in all of our lives because standing firm in the truth of the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, I turn a page. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein," how's that finish? "Stand." Stand. Listen, you know the truth of the message of God. You know the message of the gospel. Stand in it. Don't let anybody tell you to add something to it. Don't let anybody tell you that you got to be before God will receive you. Don't let anybody tell you that you can accomplish some great things in your life without God. Now, there are many successful men who don't know God. But we're not looking at the world's definition, are we? What's God's definition of success? You see, our lives need to be monitored by His standard, by His yardstick. And when we look at God and we look at His yardstick and we understand what God is and who He is and all His perfection, we all fall really short. And so in that aspect, we find 1 Corinthians 15:1 says, listen, you know the gospel. You know how I preach to you. You know the gospel you stand in. Stay firm in it. Don't change from it. We need to be more bold preaching the truth from the Word of God today more so than any other day. Because we're being overrun by Satan and all his people about distorting the word of truth. And man, when you distort the word of God, you might as well just say there is no God. You can't distort any bit of it. Scripture itself is very clear. Do not change one jot or one tittle of what the word of God is all about. So in that process, when we look, the next verse we see, a very familiar verse, 2 Timothy 2:16. And we know that verse very clearly. And because, again, many people memorize it. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Why do you have the Word of God? Why did God take all that painstaking thousands of years, 66 books, 3 to 4,000 years span, take all these authors very clearly to make sure that what Moses said is the same thing that John said in Revelation. To make sure every little bit of information is identically proven the same. So God took the time for that. So why do we have that Bible? Well, it said very clearly, first of all, again, all scripture is given by God. It is God, God in His Word. John 1:14, the Word became flesh. So when we have the Word of God, it's like we have the God Himself, and God is speaking. Now, one of the phrases that I could have used this morning in opening up the world according to Dad, Mom says it, wait till your father gets home. Heard that way too many times. But you know, when we realize when that word father comes, there's a meaning behind it. There's something behind that word father. And for, you know, for many people in our world today, it's a different meaning. Some have had a great upbringing. I thank God for the upbringing I had. I thank God for the dad I have. I thank God for the example that He made in my life. But I realize there's also a lot of people who didn't have that. A lot of people didn't have the example. A lot of people didn't have that love of dad at home. But listen, once you get the love of the father, man, that's so much better. And you're able to exemplify that. Break the circle. Break the chains. Break the cycle. If you come from a family where the dad wasn't really that representative of who God is, then break that chain. Break that cycle. Let your kids know that there's somebody far greater. And so it can always be broken. Don't use it as a crutch. break the cycle. And you see, that's what this is all about, as we stand firm in the truth of the Word of God. It's for, because God wrote it all, but it's also profitable. It's profitable because it is what changes us. It is what instructs us. It is what allows us to understand what the standards are. It allows us to really come together and say, okay, God wants me to live my life like this. And so it's His standards. It's His way. We are going to lead them to Him. We got to lead them the way He wants us to go. Psalm says very clearly, the steps of a righteous man are directed, guided, placed, instilled, guarded, protected by God. All that God's path is for our lives. How many would you like to know the whole path that you're going to have until the day you die? You want to see that path? You want to see all the pitfalls in that path? You want to see all the things you're going to walk through? All the things you're going to have to deal with? I don't think so. That's why we say, God, we're just going to let you lead. We're going to follow you, because with Him, all things are possible. So when we get off His path, that's when we find ourselves not being able to handle life. The man of God is furnished. I'm not sure if anybody's ever told you, you got a few short changes in your life. Other than just short, I had to say that. That was intended for one guy. Anyway, short changes in your life. Have you ever been told you'll never make it? Have you ever been told you'll never add up? Have you ever been told you're not going to be worth anything? Have you ever been told, if you don't go in and do this, if you don't do this, you're not going to amount to anything in life? How are you ever going to find a wife? How are you ever going to, you don't. You know what God tells me? I am thoroughly furnished. I got everything I need. I have everything in me to be successful in His plan. And there comes a point in time when the children are raised. They're out of our homes. Listen, kids are priceless. There are some days you want to give them up, but they're priceless, okay? And all of a sudden, it's their God. It's now their choices. It's now their responsibility to carry out the will of God for their lives. It's no longer ours. See, we don't have the responsibility to make sure till the day our children die, they stay on track. If we don't give them up to the Heavenly Father, they are going to fall short because they're still looking at your earthly father. I'm going to tell you, that's the hardest thing in my life I've ever had to do, is to love my kids from a distance. To love them from a distance. Watch them flail like a fish out of water. Watch them make bad choices. Watch them go down roads you don't want them to go down because you know where it'll take you. Watching the kids make mistakes. You want to fix it, right? You don't want any of it. You don't want that for your kids' lives. But do you realize when you try to fix it, you just stopped the hand of God in their life? Now, I'm not saying back off and say, y'all got it now. Don't call me. Don't touch me. What I'm saying is love them from a distance. Lead them faithfully. If one of your children who are an adult, they call you up and they expect a different answer from you than you would have given them when they were 10, then something's wrong. You would have given the same answer when they're 40 as when they're 10. Why? Because you're faithfully carrying out the will of God for your life. You're faithfully setting the standards for your life. It's when we begin to compromise when they call as adults, they'll turn around, and which will they teach? The truth that you had or the compromise you're given to their kids? I guarantee you they're going to teach the compromise. I've seen it everywhere. Listen, we didn't get to this mess we're in by being completely faithful to the truth. We compromised. And so that being said, when we guard, again, stand firm in our faith, continue that all scripture, it's given for profitable in our lives. It's given so that we could be completely furnished. We've got everything we need to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. And that's exciting to me, because that means I don't have to perform. That means I don't have to go out and listen. If you're not doing it in the power of God, and you're not doing it in the glory of God, and you're not doing it bathed in prayer, all you're doing is performing. And you know what? Every performer in their lives has had a really bad concert somewhere. Everyone who performs messes it up. Why? Because we are not equipped and capable to keep that up for that long. But God is. When we do it God's way, we don't perform. We live out faithfully the will of God in our life. And I think it's very important as we are the guardians of our home and the hearts of our home. The third thing, the guard is a man of courage. It says in verse, again, back into 1 Corinthians 16, it says, "Watch ye stand fast in the faith, quick ye like men." Be men of courage. Be strong. And so what does that mean to you and I? Well, how do we do that? You see, courage basically is a mark of by maturity. Courage is not just the muscle. And listen, yesterday, you know, that 250th birthday, y'all watched some of that? Well, I got on a channel and I was watching the military compete against each other in some events. And one guy was riding a bike, and he had to ride it for so long while the other four on the team were picking up like 1,000 pounds and holding it. And then they had to jump over a big high thing, and then he had to take this great big thing and get it up on his shoulders and flip it over on the ground about six times back and forth, probably weighed about 500 pounds. And they were doing all these calisthenics, and you know what I enjoyed watching? The big old Marines coming up. And they lost. The girls were on the other team. They won. Listen, it's not all about the hooah. You know, it's not all about the beef. It's not all about the muscles. Courage comes when you're willing to stand and stand alone if you have to. Why? Because you're mature in Christ. Because you know the right answers. You know what's right. You don't fold. You don't go waving back and forth, as James says. You stand true and firm to what is truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 14 and 15. Are also very good verses to look at. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15, that we henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of even Christ. Listen, men, we need to grow up. We need to come to a maturity level of our spiritual life where we are no longer moved by the excitement of our world, that we're no longer moved by what they offer. We're no longer moved by the enticing craftiness of our world. Listen, there's a lot of things out there that would be really fun to do, a lot of stuff to have, but at what cost? At what cost? You see, and that's what we have to weigh. We have to understand and realize that if I'm being asked by God to be a man of courage, courage is marked by maturity. Courage is a man who stands up when nobody else is willing to stand. Courage is a man who's willing to stand and say what needs to be said when no one else will say it in a very loving way. You see, all of that comes down to speaking truth in love. And you've heard me say often, you can say anything to anyone as long as you say it in a godly love. Listen, when you and I, sometimes it's hard to take. Somebody comes up to you and says something, well, you know, you got to think of this, you think of that. Or, you know, a lot of times I'll say, listen, I don't know where you're at. I don't understand all that's going on in your life, but I do know the road you're on. I know where it's going to lead you. Be careful. Don't walk that road too long, because I know where it's going to go. You see, those are the ways that we can approach people. You're more so encouraging them out of love. To think about where they're at. Think about what they're doing. And so when Paul says to the Corinthians that we are to speak the truth in love, it's very important. And again, grow up in Christ. They always ask these youngsters in school, what do you want to be when you grow up? I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Dad. I want to be a fireman. Or I want to be an astronaut. That was one big one. I want to be something else. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, I want to be like Christ. And that bothered me for a while until I realized that maybe they haven't seen what Christ looks like. Maybe they don't understand. understand what Christ looks like yet. And so when we do that, and I'm encouraged by individuals who trust me with many things and come to me and talk to me and say, well, you know, we trust you. We know that you won't share it to the Herald. We know that you won't put it in a paper. We know we trust you. And it's like that comes with a maturity of understanding. And so when you and I as dads, you and I as men, you know, we need to really grow up. I mean, there's nothing more gross than seeing a 40-year-old man walking behind his mom with the umbilical cord still attached. Y'all know what that looks like, right? Gross, for one. But as we understand the growing up, you know, we need to be able, listen, mom and dad, we got to let them go. One of the hardest things to do, again, love them from a distance. Let them go. Don't try to fix them. Love them. Don't try to tell them what to do. Instruct them in the Word of God. Don't look at them and say some of the phrases that we talked about in the beginning. You are going to go and you're going to like it. I'll tell you, I was in church many days with that same phrase. My mom and dad used that phrase to me, and it only pertained to church because I never wanted to go. I was a druggie. I was drugged every Sunday. You need to understand, but my mom and dad never stopped. Was my mom and dad perfect? No. Got to go visit them yesterday. I feel bad. That's what Kim's a little sore today. She didn't come today because we went down to Mercer and back. But as we see what goes on, as we look at life, I look at my dad now, more frail, hard to get out of the chair, can't walk unless he has a walker. I look at my dad, who was the strongest man in my life. And I see his frailty now. And then I also understand his frailty is only because the outward man perishes, but his inward man is still the same. You see, that's a successful, mighty man in my book. And so when you and I realize, as men, listen, anybody can be a father, right? Very few can be true men. Anybody can make a child. Very few can raise them. And we're living in a world where they've got that all messed up. So my challenge to me, my challenge to all of us today, is we need to take to heart what it means to be a godly man, to be a godly dad, and to be a godly husband. And we have to be really good at all three. Because at any given time, any of those will outweigh the other one. So what is our takeaway today? How can we take this into your so far dry barbecues maybe this afternoon? I don't know. So far it's dry. First thing we need to realize, men, we are the guardians of our homes and our families. Guard them well. Guard them well. Because you've got a lot of stuff out there fighting to destroy it. You got a lot of people. You got a lot of TV. You got a lot of internet. You got a lot of phone. You got a lot of social media. You've got so much fake coming into your home that they're not going to know fake from real unless you live it in front of them. You got to stay true to that. You got to continue to be real. The second thing, it starts by guarding your own heart well. You got to guard your own health. Proverbs says, guard your heart, for out of it are the well springs of life. Out of it are all the choices you're going to make, all the decisions you're going to make. And remember, your kids are going to learn by watching you more than by hearing you. Learn to live and to step well. Third one and the last one this morning. Never give up your post as a guardian. Christ never did. He never gave up on his. Even to the death of the cross, he counted it joy to the obedience of his Father. And I'll tell you, that speaks volumes of the lesson that we need to have and we need to be. We need to continue to stay on our post. Stay on guard. Listen, until God takes you home, as long as God gives you breath, there is no, I'm done. It's always going to be there. You never know when a phone call will come. You never know when one of your children call you. You never know when somebody is needing something from you. And I'll tell you, you got to live. You got to have something to give them. And that's exactly, I think, what Paul was trying to tell the church at Corinth. Beware. If you go down through the rest of that chapter and that verses, it talks about they're going to come. As soon as I leave, they're going to come. and they're going to try to take away all the truth that I've given you. You've got schools doing that for your kids. You've got workforce doing that for your wife, your kids. You've got colleges doing that. You've got every institution out there that is taking away and trying to steal them, rob the truth that you have given them. And the best way for them to know it's true is to see how consistent you are with it. And man, we got to be consistent with the Word of God. We got to live it. We got to understand it. We got to preach it. We got to have it. So with all of that being said, men, have a great day. No. We have the ability to change the course, don't we? We have the ability to change the course of our homes, of our neighborhoods, of our workplace. We have the ability. Why? Because we are completely furnished by the Word of God. We can do everything God asks us to do. And to me, that's the most important thing that we realize. With Him, we can do great things. Without Him, we will mess it up, we will fail, and we'll sit back one day and say, how did this all happen? We need to understand how and when. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning. We thank you. We thank you again for the godly example that you've given us. We thank you for all that you're able to do innocent through us. God, we realize that, man, every generation says it's going to be difficult to raise kids in the world that we have. And I can't imagine even today raising young kids and young children in the day and age which we have. But God, you need your army. You need your individuals that are going to step up and step in the shoes of those who go on before them. And God, I pray that we take it hard and we take serious, that we make that example in our lives to the people around us. May they know that we are the guardians of our home and they will not enter in. We are the guardians of our souls, of our children, and you will not take them. And God, I pray that we stand and we stand tall when we need to. And God, we give you the glory. We call on your strength. We call on you to continue to give us the strength and the wisdom that we need to accomplish that. And God, we raise it all to you this morning. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. As we sing our final song,